Letting Vadim do announcements gets more exciting every time. Excuse me. It's good, though. I appreciate everything about him and Raina and others who help and assist in these things. And just a note about the concert today. Obviously, if you're available to go and want to go, I know Pastor Noose would be blessed. He is going to be here at the end of the month, and we as a church will most likely be doing something to help support the efforts there. So I don't want anyone to, in some ways, I'll say, feel obligated, you know, say, hey, this is, you know, do this. We get all these announcements, and next thing you know, you'll be spread everywhere. But at the same time, if you're available and open and you want to bless them, it's a special thing to be able to give and participate in the different ways and different places that God's at work. And that's one of the things that we strive to do here is to acknowledge that we'll do what God calls us to do, and there's others that are called to do other parts, and yet we can partner, whether it be financially or with prayer or by supporting in different ways. So, like I said, if you guys are available, 2nd Street in Galloway, 4 o'clock today. But you'll also hear more about their efforts and some of the things that are going on. So let me turn to some prayer as I get ready to move into the Word this morning. So, Father God, what can we say but we need you. We trust you, we love you, and we welcome you to continue to have your way in this place. So, guys, I open up your word. I ask that it would do everything that it was set forth to do, that it would accomplish all of its powerful work, even in us. It's amazing to think that, but it's true. Even in us, you are at work, and your word is at work. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have to say, for one, happy 4th of July, right? It's Independence Weekend, amen. We are all blessed beneficiaries of what's happened before us. And as a 52-year-old man, I realize that I have known nothing but the freedom of being in this country. And I don't really even almost know how to compare that to something else, but I know that I'm blessed. I know that you're blessed. And I got my reddish, white, and blue on to represent today. It is also happy mid-year, right? It's the middle of the year, right? Literally, like we always say happy new year at the beginning of the year, get all excited about all these, you know, new things that we're going to do and be excited about. And what happens somewhere, they wane off a little bit and you get a little bit of maybe some hiccups or challenges. And, you know, I realized that, you know, we don't have to wait till January 1st to make a new commitment, right? So I'm like, happy mid-year, you know, and what happened for myself was that it was actually during my quiet time during the week when I realized, wow, it's July. This is crazy. Where's time going? And got a little bit frustrated with maybe some of my own challenges, some things that I'm struggling with, some progress that I really thought I was going to see some progress in, some areas I thought I'd see some progress in this year. And that's when I kind of got that encouragement from the Lord, like, it's the mid-year. Pretend it's new year. You know, make a fresh commitment to some of these things. And I heard the words from a Matthew West song about, this is day one of the rest of my life. So I can treat it like day one of the rest of my life. So I was kind of encouraging myself in that. And there was a scripture out of 2 Timothy that I believe I shared it on a Wednesday, but I kind of read it again. It's 2 Timothy 1:7, which a lot of us are familiar with. And what I kind of liked is that the Lord gave me the verse for myself, and I realized that if I dropped the word Tim or Timothy and just put a zero in there, it was 2017. So that helped me remember that this was my verse for this year. But before I really get going, I just want to read it to you because it's been an encouragement to me, and it'll relate a little bit to today. So in the Amplified, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that will result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." Amen? Amen. So this is my little my opening encouragement and part of where God has me and some of the things that I was pondering as I was looking at this week's portion. And one of the things I do want to encourage you with is to just be open to what God has and what he's doing. And this morning, I am actually going to ask Teresa Mazzi to come up and share a little bit of a brief testimony with us. And Teresa's been fellowshipping with us for a bit, and she had reached out to us on Wednesday and said, I got to tell you what happened. You know, can I share this testimony? And I'm like, It's VBS is what I'm thinking. It's VBS. I'm not sure where it may or may not fit in. And so she started to tell me, and her excitement was bubbling over. And I'm like, you know what? Part of what she learned in this and what God did really, really does tie into this morning's message. So, Teresa, you can feel free to share what God did for her.
Okay.
Amen.
How much time do I have?
Oh, you'll know. You'll feel me coming close. Just
okay.
A couple of minutes is fine.
So. Okay. So this is Wednesday. I went to BBS and we're talking about our spiritual gifts. This is not one of my spiritual gifts. I'm not very comfortable with talking in front of people. But anyway.
How about I'll hold your mic?
Yes. As I was sitting. Here, worshiping, I was like, what's that verse? Perfect love casts out all fear. Yeah. So I was like, okay, so I could do this.
Amen.
So anyway, I have this friend, and I've been friends with her for quite some time, and her name's Gina. And we used to be neighbors. We used to live next door to each other. And when I lived next door to Gina, Gina got sick, and she had a tumor in her head, and she had to be operated on. So at that time, I was in Bible study and had a lot of great Christian friends and everything. So I had said to her husband, I was like, you know, how about we do some meals for you, you know, so that you can, you know, it'll be easier on you. So we did that. We went over to pray with her and all that stuff and everything. So I had moved away. So I hadn't seen, it's been 4 years since I really seen Gina. I've seen her maybe in passing a couple times. And so my girlfriend, I call them Bible study buddies, is how I've always called them that, like they're my buddies, but they also, you know, pray for me and encourage me and stuff like that. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come in here today, to encourage everybody of what God did. So I hadn't moved away, I hadn't seen Gina in like 4 years, just a couple times in passing. And so one of my Bible study buddies, she was at Linwood Care a few days ago, and she went in to see her neighbor who was in there for rehabilitation. She had like back surgery. She's like 91 or something like that. So her roommate was talking about her daughter, Chrissy, and she turned around because my girlfriend knows her too, and she was like, at first didn't realize that it was Gina, and then she's like, oh my gosh, it's Gina. So then my girlfriend called me, and she was like, yo, I've been meaning to ask you, you know, have you seen Gina? I was like, no, I haven't seen her. You know, all I know is that her husband sold the house, and she's not there anymore, and I didn't ever think I was ever going to see her again. So she's like, well, I know where she's at. She's at Linwood Care. And I was like, oh my goodness, for real? And she's like, yeah. So I was like, okay. So she's like, you want to go see her? I was like, yeah. I was like, okay, I'll go tomorrow. So that night, since I hadn't seen her in a while, I was like, you know, let me pray for her. And so I prayed for her. And the next morning I got up and something said to me, you know, go and pray the prayer of salvation with her. And I was like, okay, I'll try, you know, because like a lot of times we, you know, we hear that little small still voice and we know that it's the Holy Spirit. We know we should do it, and we don't always do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do sometimes, you know, and that's just the truth, you know. Sometimes we ignore it, sometimes we do follow it. So I was like, okay, I'll go, I'll try, you know. So my girlfriend said she was going to meet me over there, and I went to go stop and get some soup for her before we went. And so I said to my girlfriend, I said, you know, as soon as we get in there, before we start talking about, you know, how's everybody been, where we're at, and everything like that, I was like, I really got to say something before anything else happens. She's like, okay. So I get in there, and Gina's sitting on the bed, and she recognized my girlfriend first. And then she's like, do you remember her? And she's like, oh, my gosh. She's like, and then she just started crying. She was like, I was praying that God would send me somebody. I said, look, I said, before we start talking about anything, I said, I got to say one thing. I'm not here by chance. I said, nothing happens outside of the will of God. I said, I didn't know I was ever going to see you again. Your husband sold the house. I didn't think I was ever going to see you. I said, God told me to come here and pray the prayer of salvation with you. And she was like, okay, I want to pray. So I was like, and for me, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, because like, I didn't see her. I didn't know how she was going to respond. And I said to her, I said, you don't have to if you don't want to. I said, but if you believe that God came and he's the Son of God and he died for your sins, I said, why not? There's no other reason not to. So for me, it was really a blessing, because I feel like in everything that we do, like, when we're obedient to what God calls us to do, there's always a blessing. And whether it be a blessing for them, a blessing for me, it's an obedience test. And maybe it was just an obedience test from God saying, yo, are you really going to do what I'm asking you to do today? And So for me, I just had a couple verses that kind of like, after I got home, I was like, I always like when God gives me a word or calls me to do something, even when I went on my missions trip, there was like the word sustain and strength. And for me, it was the word obey. So I was like, let me go home and look up this word obey and see what kind of scripture God gives me. So I always feel like it's great to like do that. So God gave me Genesis 22:18, which says, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. John 15:10, and I noticed that in your thing, John 15:10 was one of those notes.
Yep.
I thought that was pretty cool.
It is cool.
John 15:10 says, if you obey my commands, and you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed even though he did not know where he was going. Leviticus 18:5, keep my decrees and laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. 1 John 2:5, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. And I just wrote up here, it says, when we obey, even when we are unsure or scared or nervous, there's love shared and a blessing for all. But mostly, it strengthens our faith. Our Father in heaven is glorified, and it helps us to see and recognize that God is constantly working and moving and doing things in our lives and in others' lives. So.
Amen. Praise God. Good job. Good job. Amen. The prayer and the power of being obedient, and that is literally what this morning's message is about and what you're going to see. So as she was sharing that on Wednesday, I'm like, I think this is Sunday material. So I really appreciate that, Teresa, and the encouragement that it is that God, he's at work. He is at work, and he lets us participate in this. And when we follow through, the joy that comes to them and us is really powerful. So if you do have your Bibles, you can start turning to Nehemiah 8, or if you did get one of the notes pages, I did do notes pages today. You're welcome, Judy. Judy was asking about them. I'm like, yeah, I kind of got away from doing notes pages. And my usual intent is to not have you to get mixed up flipping around looking for other scriptures, though a lot of you use digital Bibles these days, so it's as simple as typing in a couple letters and you're there in a second. It also just helps you know I'm not making up the verse I say that I'm making up or that I'm reading at that moment. So I do have that and then usually tie it together with some sort of a takeaway or what I'm calling a now what. But we'll read that in just in a minute. So let me bring you up to speed on where we're at. Last week, we left the Israelites at a party, right? They were celebrating a celebration that included eating all the party food, right? It was eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, right? This wasn't the veggie week, Neil. This is, you know, that's coming later. But this was the week for the party. And so they're out there celebrating. And this was at the instruction of their leaders to get out there and celebrate because their leaders, Ezra and Nehemiah, they had recognized and witnessed the soft-hearted response that the Israelites had to hearing God's word. It was breaking them. They were sobbing. They're like, this isn't the time for this. You're soft to the Lord. Let's celebrate. We're going to have a great day. And he basically just encouraged them to go out there. And there's this joyfulness and this generosity. And, you know, I could hear the Israelites singing, happy days are here again. The skies are or whatever they're doing. They are having a good time. All right. But happy days are here again for the Israelites, at least perspectively from where they were at. So Nehemiah and Ezra and the leaders were like, yes, they get it. They get it. They're hearing God's word. They get it. They're sensitive. They're responding. Okay? So we set this day apart. It's separate to the Lord, but it's a day to party. So they went out, and they had a great time. And it's funny because the scriptures are talking about this holy day separate to the Lord. And how often when we think about holy, like it's almost like the next word should be solemn. You know, yes, there's something to be separate. But this was a holy celebration. This is a day to be separate and go ballistic and have a great time, right? They have the giant lamb roast in the ground because they don't do pig roast because they're not kosher, right? So they got a big lamb in the ground, right? They're out there playing horseshoes and cornhole, and the Shortens bring every game they've ever created for VBS over the centuries and, you know, bring it there. And everybody's just there having a good time. And there's almost this indescribable joy. We're told about this joy that is actually strength from God that comes to us. And it was coming to them as they were celebrating. And it is their strength. And our peace starts with response to his word. Right? And then it continues with obedience to his word. Let me say that again for you. Our peace, right, and the peace and joy that the Israelites were experiencing and us as well, it starts when we respond to his word, and then it continues as we obey his word. So we're going to see that today. We're going to see it in this portion and hopefully even in our own lives. So if you are open to Nehemiah 8, I'm going to start at verse 13, and I'm going to read through verse, is it 18 or 19? Through 18, through 13 to 18. It says now, on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded Moses by the people, commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the square of the water gate and in the square of the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from captivity made booths and lived in the booths from the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, which is Joshua, to that day the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. This is God's word. So here they are, the day after this big party, and the men, the dads, are gathering, and they're back around Ezra. And they probably have a little bit of this, hey, now what type anticipation or thinking, this expectancy. And where does Ezra go? He goes right back to the book, and he starts to read from the book. And they begin to study it, and in it they find some direction. And they actually find a command from the Lord through Moses of something that they were supposed to do in the seventh month. And they're probably like, the seventh month? It's the seventh month. We can still do this. So they start to obey this, and they start to follow through. Like, this would be really cool. We can actually do what it says in God's word. And there's definitely good reason to believe that Ezra may have actually been reading to the men from Leviticus 23, or maybe that was a part of where they were studying. And I am going to read just a portion of it to you from Leviticus 23. Verse 33 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month, and for 7 days is the feast of booths to the Lord. I'm dropping down to verse 40. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever. Throughout your generations, you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Like I said, that was out of Leviticus 23. I didn't put that in your notes because if I did, it went on to another page, and I was not going to another page. Okay. All right. Like, these are the important things. So this is what they actually did. They got these branches and these palms together, and they built these booths. And you see, they spread all over the city and in their own homes, and they lived in these booths. And it says that this feast had not been celebrated like this since Joshua's day. There's some other scriptural references to times that it was celebrated, but not on this scale and not where everybody was participating. And so as this happens, and as they're being obedient here, they've chosen to follow what God called them to do. And I love verse 17. And there was very great rejoicing. Very great rejoicing from following what God wanted them to do. And I started to think to myself, when's the last time I would say I was rejoicing greatly? That there was very great rejoicing, you know, in my heart or in my life. And that quickly brought me to places where I'm like, well, is it related to what I am or what I'm not doing? Like, I start to, you know, maybe overthink a little bit. But the action word that's here and the reference that we've already made several times, it's the word that has connotations of limiting or somehow confining. But that's because the enemy tries to distort what's true, okay? The word that we're talking about is being obedient. It's this word obedience. Like I said, when you hear it, we think that somehow, you know, you're being confined, you're being, you know, held in, you know, be obedient. You know, like if you just stay within, you know, come on, be a good Tom. You know, be a good Tom, okay? Stay here, be obedient. You almost feel like you're talking to a dog, you know? And that is not what obedience to the Lord is about. It is not what it's about. I mean, we're seeing glimpses already. There is great rejoicing when we're following the Lord. And it's really interesting because the world tries to paint open-mindedness as this virtue to be worshipped. Oh, you know, if you're open-minded, that's a good thing. You know, because the opposite, being closed-minded, is a bad thing. And it's from this perspective of, I'll say, exalting open-mindedness that people begin to supposedly think and reason and process. And I say supposedly because the contemporary world, their definition of open-mindedness is similar to their definition of tolerance. And by it, they tout tolerance and open-mindedness as virtues, but really what they're saying is that anything that goes against what your mind is supposed to be open to or what you're supposed to be tolerant of, is all choices are just as valid. So that basically, if you can be open to anything, means you have to embrace it. You have to support it. You have to get behind it and rally it. That proves that you're open-minded. As opposed to open-minded maybe meaning that you allow something into the place to be processed, to be thought about, to be pondered. Okay? Not to just open the door and say, come on in, whatever thought this is. You know, I'll just, yeah, we can do that. You want to change your gender by the hour? Sure. That's what's being said right now. Gender's fluid. All right? Just, you know what? Come on, be open-minded. And I'm saying it to you guys like that because we're of like mind to say that, wait a second, there's something inside me that says, that ain't right. All right? And part of that is because your mind has been trained in some of the ways and things of God. Okay? But being open-minded and being able to think, there's still filters. There's still ways of processing what you're going to actually take into your heart to be true. And this is why we have to wash our minds with God's word. We have to learn how to think. We saw already how you know, the gates and the doors and the walls have been built in this city. And we likened it to the things that we allow in. And it's not a question that we can't think about these things. If anything, I think Christian reason is one of the most powerful tools there is because it really does make the most sense. And when people will, if they get honest, when they boil things down, it does become matters of faith. And it's either your faith in the Lord and what he has said and he's revealed to be true, or it's your faith and thinking you're going to figure it out yourself, but it's still faith. So, you know, here, in applying some degree of critical thinking or weight to a choice, people try to treat you like you're some sort of backwards Neanderthal. You know, really? You're not going to just, you know, don't you know that some scientific study just said that, you know, there's a such and such gene and these people are just like this because that's the way, you know, the gene that's in them? Okay? Hang on a little bit. Sooner or later, they're going to find something else. Like, right? Coconut oil is now bad, right? Did you catch that, right? It was great. Coconut oil, put in everything, put in your toothbrush, you know, it's all over the place. Next thing you know, now it's coconut oil, it's a saturated fat, don't stay. It's just a matter of time. Okay, that's the way all these things go. But when it comes to the way that we think, the enemy knows how to build that Trojan horse, right? You're familiar with the Trojan horse that they took in, not realizing that in it was the soldiers that now got behind the wall, now they're going to come in and kill them. And, this Trojan horse is this godless chaos that comes under the guise of being open-minded. So I'm not at all saying you shouldn't think. You shouldn't learn how to think. You shouldn't learn how to know what you're rooted in and what's true. But But you don't just take everything that comes down the pike because somebody with a doctorate degree or a couple letters after their name says, you know, some new study said this is now true, right? God's word will prove itself true time after time after time. And eternity will prove it out. So I'm encouraging you to think in a way that the Lord has given you this blessed mind, but to realize that you have a filter that you're putting through. You're deciding, you know, what's there. And I'm encouraging you, as I do, to use this as our filter. Amen? Amen. So many of us, right, as children, had a parent or an authority figure that for their reason, for us to do something, right, they wanted us to obey them. And the reason was, because I said so. Right? Because I said so. You know, or it might be just because. Why do I have to do this? Because I said so. You know, just because I said so. That's why you have to do it. And, you know, you're all chuckling because there's that child inside of you that says, I need a better reason than just because. You know, if you're real young, you know, you don't think that way. You're just like, okay, it's you know, it's the parent, it's the authority figure. I have to do this. As you get older, there's a part of you that wants to shout back, no, I don't want to. Why? Give me a why. Something that can satisfy, you know, my understanding in this. Yet, many of us become parents, or we are an authority figure, and how often do you want to say, because I said so? Why? Because I said so. Just because. Just because. Can you trust me? Just because. So where does that come from? Right? Where does it come from that, you know, when we're on one side of the equation, we hate it. We're on the other side of the equation, we want to use it. Okay? Okay, we know from an adult's perspective, it's different. It's different. You want to almost scream out, just do what I'm telling you. Right? Just do what I'm telling you. And it's because your perspective is different. So let's look at things from God's perspective. So Him telling us to obey, follow my commands, these things that a part of us inside are going, I don't know. You know, are you going to restrict me? You know, should I be restricted? When He is giving us instruction, when He says to you, I want you to ask your friend Gina to pray a prayer of salvation, and you haven't seen her in 4 years. Okay? When He's asking you to do something, everything He asks is out of perfect, complete knowledge. Complete. Perfect judgment. He sees it all. So if He says to you, you know, don't lie. I mean, don't lie. Don't covet. You know, don't be promiscuous. This isn't Him saying, you know what, I got to make sure I keep my little Tom dog trained. He has a perfect perspective. Perfect perspective. If anything, He can say, just be my cause. His cause is perfect. And that's what I call today's message is just be cause. Because God's causes are just. They're perfect. So if He says, just because, we should say, hallelujah, because He gets the whole thing. He gets the whole thing from beginning to end. He said, here, do this. Do this. You know, our parents and those in authority, they may have used that line out of frustration, right? Just because, or because I said so. And sadly, some even use it in abuse to an abuse, and they're abusive in their in taking advantage of their authority over somebody who's younger or smaller. But not so with the Lord. Not so. Okay? Because when He says, just because, He knows what He's saying. Just be the cause behind my word. Okay? Just is the cause behind everything He has said. Okay? His commandments, His requirements are just. They're good for us. Okay? It's just that sin nature in us that causes us to resist a little bit. Or, I got to figure this out myself. And thank God for His grace. Okay? It's amazing because if there's anybody who had the right to force us to follow their commands and their ways, it's Him. And instead, He gives us the choice. Right? It says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Choose. Go ahead. You choose. And it's in this really phenomenal, remarkable mind of God, that when he decided to create us in his image, that he gave us this power of choice, right? The power to choose. The power to choose to follow or to obey or not to. And you can see what happened to the Israelites. And I'm hoping that you've had situations in your life that when you chose to follow, there was great rejoicing. Great rejoicing. Right? Think about those times. That's what's on the other side of following through with what God wants. Because the alternative is that you've always got this something that's trying to hold you back or keep you, or you're wondering, like, is this because I'm still doing this, or I don't care about that, or I don't want to bring this before God, or I'm trying to hide this from God, or I'm trying to hide this from other people. Right? There's something that holds you back that keeps you from being free and keeps you from rejoicing the way God wants you to. And the scriptures are full of promises of obedience. Full of it. Full of it. I'm going to take the time to read several verses out of Deuteronomy, and this one I did include in your notes. Many of you may be familiar with this portion, but I want you just to let it resonate a little bit this morning as we think about being obedient to God. So this is out of Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to read verses 1 to 14. It says, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the youngs of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in the barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of the ground within the land the Lord has swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command to you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." Is that amazing? That is amazing. Now, those of you who know your Bibles know that this was 14 verses of blessing. It's followed by 50 verses of what happens should you choose to not obey, okay? We'll save that for another week, okay? This is the up week, okay? I want great rejoicing, not, oh, okay? But it is kind of interesting. It's 14 verses of, hey, here's what happens if you obey, but just in case you're thinking of something different, let me give you 50 verses to balance that out or something like it. So this is who the Lord is. Hey, this is his desires for us. There's some New Testament scriptures that I have in your notes as well that I really want to reflect on as well. So if you have your sheets here, you can follow along. For one, the verse that Teresa read, Jesus was saying that if we keep his commandments and we abide in the love that he and the Father have for us, we can fully receive his joy. Fully receive his joy. We also referred to that verse last week. There's the reference I also made last week, but again, it applies this week. To building our house in obedience to God. And I don't mean, you know, how you structure your house. I mean, you're building your life by following God's precepts, and he parallels it to this building that you make of a house. And I liked it in Luke 6, especially this time, because it's there he was saying, some of you are saying, "Lord, Lord, you call me Lord. But why don't you do what I say?" You know, there's a disconnect, right? There's no such thing as Lord, but, you know? Lord, but, you know, it's Lord. If he's Lord, he's Lord. If he's God, he's God in your life. And what I want to encourage us all in is in the freedom that comes with being obedient, right? The freedom that comes in that, and then the joy that follows. So here, and you're familiar with it, you know, as we follow the things that the Lord's commanded, we're building our lives in such a way that whatever comes against it, our life is still going to stand. You're still going to be at your core who God made you to be. Your identity didn't get wrapped up in something different. It didn't get wrapped up in anything temporal. It was in who God said you are, and you walk through life with that. And as we read in those blessings in Deuteronomy 28, people look at that, and they can recognize that your life is built on something different. Okay? It doesn't change with every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. So Luke 11:28, he said, those who hear God's word and keep it or obey it are blessed. I think we've seen that a couple times already. Jesus at the end of Matthew 28 promised that if we obey his commands and teach others to obey, he'll be with us. He'll be with us. And that's what we really get into in these next verses in John 14. Three times in these eight verses, Jesus equates obedience with these incredible promises. So in 14:15, he says, if you love me and keep my commands, I'll ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, God's helper. That's a pretty good deal right there, right? That's a good deal right there. If you obey what I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will be sent to you. Okay. 14:21, obedience to his commands demonstrates that we love him. And when we do, God will love us and show or manifest himself to us. Right, so God is actually showing himself. I know I'm not reading the verses, I'm referring to them, but you have them there for you. And in verse 23 is where he actually says that I and the Father, Jesus says, I and the Father, we will come dwell with you. We will make our home with you if you keep my word. What else do we need? All right, this is like drop the mic and walk away time, you know? It is. It's like there's nothing else. Because when God's present, not only don't we need anything else, we're complete, we're whole. It's why heaven's going to be heaven, right? To be in his presence, to have his light, the light of his radiance, be the glory that shines and gives us the ability to see. Right? We have not even begun to scratch the scratch. There's those times when, you know, we experience his Holy Spirit or God's glory falls and we're like, this is great. Okay? It is barely a hint. He calls this a deposit. I gave you a little deposit, right, of what's to come. What's to come? So what we see, and we start to say, okay, so what does it look like here and now to be obedient, to be a lover of Jesus, to follow him in this day and age? And there's a lot of ways that we can show this, and the obedient actions of his, I'll say his just becauses, framed out as commands, really are guidance. And they are captured for us, you know, in this book that we call the Bible. And for any of you who've not yet done whatever you need to convince yourself that this book is literally written by God, ordained, sanctified, kept through the ages, turned into trillions of copies around the world to get out his message. You know, do that work if you need to do that. But once you're convinced, then just obey. Just follow. Just follow in that is this incredible freedom. You know, we know that we're saved by faith. It's our faith that saves us. But as you read the scriptures, the faith that saves us is alone. I'm sorry, we're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves us isn't alone. Meaning we're going to start to be different. We're going to start to act different. We start to think different. We start to process different. And it's Ephesians 2:10 that tells us, you know, we were created for good works. We were created for good works. James was telling us in his letter that, you know, if you're just going to tell me you have faith and you don't do anything, I'm not so sure that's real faith, right? And you show me, you know, your faith without any works, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. And it's an interesting tension and dynamic, but it's real. And I think that any of us are, if we're honest, know that, hey, if I say that I trust Jesus as Lord and I believe that he is God's son, okay, and yes, his grace covers a multitude of sins, but I would be doing not only a disservice, I would be disrespecting him to the nth degree to think that I'm going to say, hey, Thanks for dying for me. Thanks for doing all that you did. I'm going to live my life however you want. I'll catch you on the heaven side. Right? There's just something that says, wait a second. You're not valuing what was given to you. You're not valuing it. And there's some pretty strict and even scary warnings in Hebrews. Should we neglect what's been made known to us? But what really starts to happen is if we allow this to permeate how we think, we can't help but show obedience. We can't help but do some of these things. Yeah, there's going to be times that we're resisting or we're wrestling, or there's times we make a bad choice, or times we allow emotions or other things that maybe weren't quite aligned the way they should be with God's way of thinking. But that's where we confess. That's where he said, if any of you sin, you have an advocate before God. But as Paul would say, that doesn't mean that we go on sinning, ad nauseum, saying that, oh, his grace will cover me. I'm covered. So what really happens is we start to live lives that show evidence of this grace. And that's where I love Romans 12:1. It says, in view of God's mercy, in view of his mercy, just present yourself. Just be before him. Right? His ways are for us. Right? We read just tad little bits of his blessings there. Incredible things. Capped off with his presence. Capped off with God himself dwelling with us. That's why we say he lives in my heart. His spirit really does come to reside in us. And I know many of you know that and understand that. But there's a time and a place that we need to, recommit and continue to bring ourselves before God and surrender. And say, God, in view of your mercy, I need to just, present myself. And I present myself. There's lots of things in the scriptures, to do. James talked about the widows and the orphans as parts of how he was showing, his love and the fact that he was a man of faith. Jesus said, that if you're taking care of the hungry or the thirsty or the outcast or those that are in prison, you're showing, love to him. So there's lots of things that we can do and lots of things that happen. This church, a part of the vision of this church, was founded on not leaving the bruised fruit on the ground, right? That those bruised fruit are people, and life has been hard on people, and especially the fruit that's left on the ground sometimes is left there to rot, okay? But we're God's people. We're there. We can pick others up. We can encourage them. We can go visit them when they're, in a down time, not only just to give them God's word, but to pray for them, and who knows, maybe lead them to salvation at that moment the way Teresa was blessed by the Lord to do. So as we close things up this morning, I want to encourage you all the more, to follow, to obey. These are great things. These are great things, before God and for us. They cause great rejoicing. And if we do this, we put ourselves in a position to be filled all the more with God's Spirit, to let it flow and to have it, be moving through us. We saw how the Israelites were hungry to hear God's word, and they start to obey it, and there's joy that then flows, with them and through them. So similarly, as we commit ourselves to obey God's word, the stability, the peace, the presence of God, and the joy, the founded joy. So it's just reality. It's just what it is. So just be his causes. So when the Lord says just because, you say, praise God. Okay? His cause is just. He can say just because all day, all night. Okay? Because I said so. That's good enough for me. Right? So it needs to be good enough for all of us. Amen? Amen. So my now what, if you do have the note page there, the thing I want you to walk away with today is to say, okay, what one thing, and I'm asking the Lord right now to even bring something to your mind that you need to do as an act of obedience. It may be something where you're reaching out to somebody. Maybe something kind. It may be something where there's something that you've allowed to maybe have a place in your life, maybe in your mind, in your heart, maybe literally something physical that you've allowed to exist, saying, this is okay. This really isn't going to hurt me. It's okay. I'm okay. But that maybe it's that one thing that even if I'll say you're okay, the fact that you want to surrender to the Lord, you say, I can give this up. Lord, I'll give this up. Lord, I surrender it to you. So what is that one thing of obedience that you're thinking of? And start to think out, how might I do this? What action do I need to take? and then ask God for the wisdom and the courage to follow through. Amen? Amen. If you'll stand, I want to pray a blessing over you and dismiss you. Trust you're going to have a great rest of your weekend. Looks like we got some beautiful weather. So, Father God, we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you, in your perfect wisdom, your ability to see, you gave us guidance because you love us, and then allow us to choose whether or not we're going to follow. I almost don't get it. At the same time, Lord, I choose, and we choose to follow you. We choose to walk with you. We choose to obey, God, because in that obedience, you come and dwell with us. And with you, we can do all things. Nothing without you, but with you and in you, we can do all things. So, Father, I thank you for your love for us this morning and the way that you have continued to be gracious to us. So, God, I want to pray the blessing that Moses prayed when I say to this congregation this morning, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're blessed and dismissed. If there's something that you want prayer agreement on, please come forward. If you need to surrender and ask Jesus into your heart, absolutely come forward. Amen.